Hello, everybody. This is Noah Rosenblatt, and I am with Urban Digs. And today I am talking Manhattan, and I got Lisa Chaget here from Coldwell Banker Warburg, a top producer, number two. Is it number two? Am I correct? All right, cool. I don't want to get that wrong. Number two, right up there. You do a ton of deals. You got a ton of wisdom. And I thank you, Lisa, for joining me today. I'm going to pick your brain for about 15, 20 minutes about what's going on out there in the world. We want to know. And I'm going to start with the state of the market. What do buyers, sellers, or agents even need to know about the markets today?
I think it's most brokers are aware of. There has been some pickup recently, after a very, very hard year with interest rates rising and confidence down. But the markets that we've seen with a pickup, actually, I wouldn't so much say the markets, I'd say the units, the apartments that we've seen with a pickup are those that are listed at the right price. The market is, as data tells everyone, off a good 10 to 20%, depending on which market you're in. And pricing is always key, but I think in this market, it's even more key than ever because overpricing a listing gets you no views. Underpricing or pricing right brings in traffic. And we are seeing that if you have good property and good value, good traffic leads to sales.
Right. I just wanted to clarify something. In terms of market price action, prices, did you say that we're down about 10 to 20%? Was that what you said before? Okay.
I think we are. I mean, if I
Yeah.
could give an example of a unit I just had on the market, the comp I worked off of when I put it on in September was 1.4. And I had listed the unit at 1.395, thinking, oh, I'm not getting 1.4. But you have to leave room to negotiate, especially in a buyer's market. Nobody wants to pay the price. Anyway, long story short, that apartment ended up coming off the market. It never sold, and we were below the last comp. And I just re-put the apartment on, 200,000 less than the last comp, staged, so it looked better. And I have six bids. And I'm right back up to where I was.
And all right, so this is something over the last 3 months. 3 months ago, you couldn't have it, took it off, bring it back on. 3 months later, lower price staged. You got bids over the asking price. Well, first off, I think this solves one question. If you price too low, are you leaving money on the table, or will the market just do its thing and
I think
counteract
the
that?
market does its thing. And I think this is a perfect example of it. I had said to the seller, we were debating between two prices.
Yeah.
And going back to what I said, traffic is key, right? So I think the more competitively you're priced, the more people are going to come in
Yeah, it's
and they're going to see
always a
the product.
difficult conversation because I think that seller feels like they're going to leave money on that table if they got to test the market, right?
Totally right. And that's a perfect thing to say because we had tested the market. We tested it at a price that was comparable to the last comp, and it didn't work.
Right.
Anybody who bought 24, 13, 14, 15, you're just not making money anymore. You're lucky to get out. And that is a very solid fact. People come to me and say, but I put in $200,000. I want to get my money out. I'm like, okay, but you're not.
Yeah, and we just did an interview with Brian Morgan recently. I think we talked about this before, and it's not even out yet. It's about to come out. It's processing, and he said the exact same thing. He said if you bought in 2015, you're looped 2016, 2000, you're down.
You're down.
You
And
know,
then a
you're
lot of
down.
people who bought them did work. So, you
Yeah.
never recoup your exact fees of, you put in 500, we say 50% of, recouping it. But I think it makes it sell easier. But that was your decision to redo the apartment
Yeah.
and live in it for 5 years. So it's not really new anymore. It's not new development.
Yeah, not in their minds. I mean, I know sellers that did a renovation 10, 15 years ago, high end, and they'll still consider it. Hey, it looks good today, but
But
the
it's 10 years
reality is,
old.
yeah, the marketplace tends to look at it with a different set of eyes. I wanted to ask you really quick about that staging and refreshing situation that you had. It seems like that was a successful strategy right there. Let's just go over that. You failed at your first price attempt, took it off the market, staged it, significant price cut. How much was that price cut?
200,000.
All right, so that's a significant price cut.
Significant. Also,
So
I had said to the seller, I don't think she, this goes back to what you said, which I think sometimes sellers don't want to leave money on the table. But in this instance, we saw that the approach didn't work.
right.
So
And
what
once
do
you
you
go
do?
through it, yeah, once you go through it, then you pretty much know, right? Because you've experienced that pain, that
She had
time
moved
and pain.
out. She moved to Michigan.
Yeah.
I believe an apartment has to be furnished on some level, especially if it's quirky. This was a quirky apartment. It was a brownstone apartment. I think if you've got a cookie cutter one bedroom or two bedroom and a post door that's very easy to define, it's not that hard to see where the couch, the bed, you can virtually stage it.
Yeah.
This had three levels, stairs, dining, everything was, nothing was what it seemed. And I had said to the seller 6 months ago, we need to stage. No one's going to understand this phenomenal space.
So the importance of staging is you allow the buyers to come in and actually see the lifestyle vision. They could see how I might live here. Whereas you got this unique apartment that's not staged, they just don't see it. They might see it in a cookie cutter, I guess you're saying, right? How
No,
much did that
I
staging
also
cost?
another, I think also when an apartment is staged, you focus less on what's wrong with it. Because you're happy with what you're seeing. So this apartment needs work, right? And anybody who was coming in the fall found every little nook and cranny to focus on because there was nothing else to focus on. Now the buyer's coming in and saying, oh my God, this is beautiful. I can live in it as is and renovate it in 2 years.
A distraction. I love it. You're almost distracting the
They're
consumer
distracted and they're
into
not
yeah.
nitpicking, and you nitpick in empty apartments.
That is really, really interesting. May I ask how much did it cost to stage that property just so I can get a general idea of what we're dealing with here?
I think about 12,000. And
Okay.
I think what's good to know about it is the seller obviously made that 12,000 back plus extra. So
Right.
the value is really there.
Right. Okay. So the market will do its thing. May I also ask you, are you noticing buyers are looking at properties that need renovation with more interest today? I know that there's a big penalty if you're not renovated, right? Is that still the case out there today?
I think it's even worse than it was. And I
Ooh.
think we had discussed this the other day. You see it most on in the Park Avenue brand co-ops. The people who bought them 50, 60 years ago, they're now estate-conditioned apartments. They do not have central AC. The building has restrictions on the kind of work you can do. The building doesn't have amenities. There's only so much you can do with the kitchen is where the kitchen is. Wet over dry in these pre-war co-op. Most of them you need to replace the risers, the electricity. So we're talking at least, I sold a large estate on East 79th Street. It took them 2.5 years to renovate. Because
Wow.
2.5 years to hold two apartments, because you gotta live somewhere, and prices are up. Construction costs is up since COVID. So
Yeah, the opportunity cost, right? And the inconvenience of having two places going on, that's priced into that bid in the buyer's mind. Wow. I mean, Park Avenue, what's going is that so that's what's going on with Park Avenue. It's the inventory stock is needs a lot of work, and we're in an environment where I guess buyers don't want to do a lot of work.
listen, don't want to do a lot of work and have to deal with a co-op board, right? It's just as easy to go over to one of the new condos on third or second and have everything turnkey and be given a key.
Yeah, this is
And that
makes
did
more
not
sense.
exist when. Look, I grew up on Park Avenue. I grew up in a pre-war co-op, right? I mean, there's still nothing quite like the ceiling height, the grandness, the graciousness. You don't get that in these new developments. But what you
Yeah.
do get is what works for people and works for young families, which is amenities, which is turnkey, which is Sounds crazy, but Central AC, some of these Park Avenue clubs don't allow Central AC. You want to buy a $6 million apartment and have an air conditioning hanging out a window?
Yeah, I see what you're
No,
saying. Yeah, this is stuff that's going on in the field, right? This
and
is
they
reality.
also limit financing.
Yeah, that's a
And
big
you've got
thing as
a
well.
very high income person with less liquidity, but makes 2 to 3 a year. Guess what? They want to finance as much as they can. Because even at 6%, it's still cheaper than emptying out their savings account.
Interesting. Really interesting. All right. I want to move on to the next question. Is there a missing art in marketing, selling properties, and agent content? Agent generated content. We're in a different world today.
Yeah, I mean, this is a personal opinion. I think
We have to preface that. This is a personal
this
opinion.
is my personal opinion. I think a lot of brokers are missing the boat by promoting themselves instead of the property. When I look at my listing at 80 Riverside, I'm showcasing the property, and that's what people are buying. They are coming in to buy 80 Riverside Boulevard. They're not coming in to buy me showing and opening cabinets and what my shoes
Yeah.
look like. Like it's not about me. I was hired to sell their property. And when I do a video, it's about the property. And we know that this Gen X does not have a large attention span. It's TikTok, it's Instagram, it's short and quick. And when they are on these videos, they don't care about a long story and a whole production. They want to see what the kitchen looks like, what the bathrooms look like, what the ceiling height, where are the views? You got 30 seconds to capture someone's attention. And in that 30 seconds, it's not about me. And I
Yeah.
think a lot of brokers miss the mark on this with
Yeah.
self-promotion.
What are your thoughts about commingling and stuff like personal life with agent life and real life?
I'm not a fan. I'm not a
Right.
fan.
You're old
I keep
school.
my business life separate than
Yeah.
it's two very different. And look, I get a lot of my business through socializing,
Yeah.
but I'm very professional about my marketing and about my social media because I don't want anybody who's looking at one of my things to be like, wow, she's gone off the deep end, right?
Right.
I want to remain above board. And I think that's why sellers hire me.
Like if they see videos of you surfing, it might impact your reputation a little bit.
I mean, then they know I'm out surfing in the middle of August and not selling their apartment. But yeah, it's not about me.
Discretion.
I'm not an
Discretion is
actor.
important,
I'm not
right?
an actor. I'm selling your property, which
Right.
is a large part of most people's portfolios.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with money, you're dealing with their home. They want a pro that's going to
And
do the job.
emotions. Don't
Yeah.
forget emotions, right?
Yeah,
Like
right.
we always say, I know more about my sellers and buyers than anybody else does. I know who's getting divorced. I know who's sick. There's a lot of stuff I know. And
Yeah.
that stuff cannot be that personal.
Right. I hear you. That's part of our jobs. This NAR settlement, we got this big NAR settlement. It's big news. I know it's got a lot of people worried. There's already starting to be some pre-changes happening before the whole thing, I guess, takes effect. But in your opinion or your view, in your little world that you see out there, how has it affected the New York City markets?
I have not been affected. I mean, I think going back to the apartment that I just told you that I staged and went into a best and final, I had seven bids and all seven had brokers.
All seven of those bids had buyer brokers.
Every single one of them. Because I think in New York with PUPs, we're advisors. Right? You don't need a broker to find a listing. Anybody can go on street easy and find it. But a seller has representation because the seller's broker was hired by the seller. So why should the buyer not have representation?
So interesting. So you're actually not seeing much of an effect, really.
I'm
You're
also
not
not
seeing a
having an
lot
effect
of.
with the I'm also
Wow.
not having an effect with the contracts I send out. Every contract I send out at 5%. And we are specifying how the commission breakdown is. And I haven't had one seller say to me, I won't pay the buyer's broker.
Wow. Okay, so this is the kind of interesting information that I think is so important to talk out. The sellers are clearly seeing value in, hey, if there's a guy out there that's represented by a broker, I'm going to give him for bringing the deal to the table. I'm going to bring a little commission. Yes, it
Listen,
helps.
every new development is paying a buyer's broker. So why should we not compete? It's part of the process.
Yeah,
Okay.
there's been all this talk that we don't know how it's going to react. We don't know what the markets are going to do. We also don't know if New York City is going to act differently than a lot of the other markets out there. We tend to act in our own little way.
But we're
But
Redney, we're not North.
right, that's true. That's true. But you still never know, right? At least that you never know how the market's going to react. And I know from my end, it's like, all right, I'm curious to see whether or not there's any differences. If there are sellers that are saying no, I'm not paying any buyer broker. If there are sellers that are saying, okay, I'll pay a buyer broker, but it's only going to be 1%, or disc, whatever that is, right? I'm curious, does that have any effect on how long it takes to sell? What your listing discount is? Like, I'm just curious. Like, that's my point of view on it. So, like, I was always wondering what that's going to show. And now you're telling me that, hey, well, my sellers, they're just, it's like business as usual.
It has not shown in my world. I think it would be interesting, probably for you, to speak to someone who's had pushback. Might be your next podcast. I have not had it.
Well, it's interesting frontline boots in the ground observations, and that's why we're doing this, is to see what's going on from someone that's in the field. And I'm a little shocked that every single one of those bids that you got was represented by a buyer
Every
agent. I love
single
it.
one.
I happen to love that. All right, so this has been great. I'm gonna wrap it up. Last question, and again, thank you for your time, Lisa. You know what? You've succeeded. You've been through the grinder. It's been a long journey. I bet you think about day one, where you are today. And you look back and you've got other agents out there that are trying to be more successful, be more productive, be more efficient, be better at what they do. What separates you to succeed? What made you succeed? Or what would you tell an agent to help them succeed?
So I've been doing this for 20 years. My background was in marketing and PR. I worked at Bloomberg in my marketing department for about 8 years before I joined real estate. I think one of the most important things, and I think brokers tend to lose sight of this, is that we're all working together. I might go in and on a pitch against a broker and lose it, or I might get it, right? The listing, and that's everybody wants listings because you definitely get paid on a listing. When it sells. But we're in a market where we work together. And I think relationships is a really, really important part of this business. Because if you've got good relationships with brokers, you can leverage that. If I have a buyer, a broker on the other side knows that my buyer is legitimate. I also have an ethical relation. I'm ethical, right? And I think other brokers know that. So if I'm up against four other brokers and in a bidding war, and the seller's broker goes back to the seller and says, advises on which one to pick, they might definitely say, Lisa Chaget is honest and not going to give you problems. That's her reputation. And I think also, if I'm pricing something, we're in a market right now of totally new pricing every second, right? So I have relationships with brokers. If I see something as a contract sign, I'm going to call that broker and I'm going to ask them the price they got. And that's going to help me. And I'm going to help a broker who calls me. Somebody called me the other day. I was more than happy to give them the price because what goes around comes around. And
Yeah.
it piss too many brokers off, and if you try to operate in your own entity, guess what? You're not getting anywhere.
I love that, because if you're trying to gain intelligence, this is a little wild, wild west. You got to
Wild
know,
West.
you got to know how to, you got to know the people, you got to make friends, and you got to be able to extract some intelligence from them every once in a while. And they're trying to keep the cap on it, and you're trying to get, is it 1%, 2%, 3%? Give me
And I'm not
something.
going to help them
Give
this
me
time.
something. Yeah.
I'm not going to help, but makes no, I have so many good relationships with so, like, I emailed a broker today about something true. I'm like, oh, my favorite broker. Like,
It
I can
helps.
be friends with everyone.
Yeah, it makes a complex process smoother, especially if that process gets complicated and there's other situations going on out of your control. It gives you a little bit of that edge. And you're right,
And
you're
by the
not gonna be
way,
able to get
every
that
real
intel.
estate, every transaction is
Yeah.
complicated. I've never done a transaction in New York City in 20 years that hasn't had hairs.
Most of the agent tips are going to be more on build relationships with your consumers and all that kind of consumer focused. I love how you said we have to work together, build relationships with your colleagues. I love how you said that. It doesn't
Thank
get said
you.
here that often, and it's very, very important to get that going in a widespread way. This has been great. This has been great. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into what you're thinking and your little world for these 25 minutes. Unless you have any final words, I'm gonna call it off and end it
Thank God, so nice talking to you.
up. Thank you to Lisa Chagé over at Coldwell Banker Warburg. I am Noah Rosenblatt. This has been Talking Manhattan, and we will catch you guys next time. Thank you.